This is Scott Beck with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. Thrilled today to be joined by brilliant leader Laura Dierda. Laura is an editor-in-chief who talks to us, and she is the leader, talks to us regularly about issues she's following and trends she's watching in healthcare. But Laura, tell us what key stories you're watching currently. What's top of mind?
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Scott. I think top of mind for us right now is the recent news that Steward Healthcare filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy and will receive millions of dollars as well in financing from Medical Properties Trust to maintain operations at its existing hospitals and clinics. The health system, which has been going through financial struggles very publicly over the last several months, reported on May 6th that it had filed for bankruptcy. The 30 hospitals in Steward's network will continue to deliver patient care during the proceedings and does not expect that there will be interruptions to the daily operations of the hospital. So we're really keeping an eye on that to see how things unfold, both on the ground level as well as the health system level. Steward leadership said in a press release that it had done everything that it could to operate successfully amid the challenging healthcare environment, blaming the financial challenges on liquidity issues in recent months, as well as low reimbursement from government payers and increasing costs for labor, materials, operations, and more due to inflation, which is very familiar to health systems and hospitals across the country who have been experiencing the exact same thing. In March, Steward revealed that it had plans to sell its physician network to Optum, a subsidiary of United Health Group. And if that deal closes, the system's physicians would become employed by Optum. But delays in finalizing that deal definitely contributed to the system's financial issues, according to Steward's leadership. They said that they have been planning to secure the deal and hope to move forward. But because of the delays, now they're looking for financing to bridge that gap between the sale of their physician business so they can stabilize operations at the hospital. Lawmakers have been investigating Steward's financial situation over the last several months amid hospital closures, as well as complaints from vendors that there were unpaid bills. And one of Steward's hospitals in San Antonio closed last year, and another in New England Sinai Hospital in Massachusetts closed in April. We've also seen that Steward has plans to finalize terms of a debtor in possession financing for initial funding of around $75 million from Medical Properties Trust, which is the company that owns many of their facilities. And really, Steward has a unique relationship with Medical Properties Trust as well, being a large customer of theirs and holding a lot of their loans and whatnot. So it's just been fascinating to see how all of this unfolds. And we'll keep watching it and continue to report on how things go and what makes the most sense. I know there's a lot of anxiety around what could happen within the Steward Healthcare hospitals and systems, both at the state level as well as national level. So according to the press release, the leadership is looking to make sure that they're able to continue operations and responsibly transition ownership as much as possible. But in the interim, looking to make sure that patients are safe more than anything and continue to move forward in that regard.
Thank you. Really a fascinating story and situation. What Steward sort of fails to recognize in their press discussions and communications on this is the amount of debt and leverage they've taken on, which also made them more fragile when reimbursement was tough and some other things were tough. That was a contributing factor, the amount of debt and interest they had to pay as well, and sort of the dividends they paid and things like that. So there's more to it than just the typical challenges for health systems. It's combining health system challenges and margin challenges with the combination of high debt and leverage and money and so forth. It's really a combination of factors, but fascinating. No. Laura, fantastic. We're all watching that story closely, just absolutely fascinating. Anything else you're watching closely?
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the other key trends that has started to emerge over the last several months has really been looking at the relationship between health systems and health plans. I know for a time they were getting more contentious, especially as health plans increased their prior authorizations and really more of their denials around patient care and updated their policies and whatnot. And so that remains contentious, but we're also seeing health system executives find ways to really forge creative partnerships on the other end with payers to solve some of the big issues in healthcare, including the transition to value-based care, as well as bridging access to care in some respects. So, you know, we've had a few examples of those recently that we've been able to share within our digital website as well as within our podcast. And one recently in particular, we heard from Penn Medicine. They had entered into an agreement to purchase around 33% ownership of Tyne, which is a population health company owned by Independence Blue Cross. And CEO Kevin Mahoney said that really they were able to put all of their doctors into Tyne and save money. If they're able to continue along that path, then Blue Cross would benefit as well as the health system and patients. And so that was one unique way that they were looking at partnering with health plan in addition to, you know, some of the other things that they're working through on their contract negotiations. And then secondly, again, with Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association, Penn Medicine was able to work with them to achieve designation for a Center of Excellence for Gene Therapy on a national contract level so they can bring patients in from across the country really to their high volume gene therapy center, which Mr. Mahoney said was a really great way to continue to bring in patients, have great patient care, but then on the same, by the same token, partner with the health plan so that they can, you know, benefit patients overall and provide additional access to that important care. So I thought that was, you know, really interesting. And Mr. Mahoney said that he really sees these novel relationships as being the future of partnerships between health plans and hospital and health system executives. And we heard something similar from Douglas Arvin as well, who is the West Market CFO of Essentia Health, telling us that he sees his team working well with payers in their marketplace in the future, changing the paradigm to those relationships a bit to be more of a two-way street on communication and working together for win-win solutions in ways that they can improve access to care as well as make sure that they're providing the services that are needed for the community. And so he told us that he is aligning around new goals with major payers in the market focused on the total cost of care as well as quality improvement and patient experience as well as network development so that they can improve their market share position and really dig deeper into their strategy to grow and increase their brand and have greater access to healthcare services within the community, especially for those that are underserved. So there's something that we've been hearing more and more from different executives, and it's just been interesting. We'll certainly follow that and be able to provide specific examples as they come forth, because I think it's just really fascinating to see how that relationship is evolving as both, you know, contentious to some degree on the fee-for-service contract negotiation side, but then also, you know, seeing real value and being able to partner on some of the more risk-based or value-based care initiatives and then health equity as well.
Thank you very, very much, Laura. It is fascinating to see the different evolution of some of these issues and what's going on with it. Thank you so much for joining us today on the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. Again, Laura Dierda, one of the brightest, best leaders we have, the greatest. Laura, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Scott.